It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
All right, we continue on this big Wednesday night edition. Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network. Now we transition over to SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources with Major Billy Downer. Another beautiful day in South Carolina. Beautiful weekend ahead. Hot weekend ahead, Major. Great to have you with us. How's the heat going to affect people on the outdoors from a hunting and fishing standpoint this weekend?
It's going to be hot. I would do a Robin Williams play off of his movie. That was great when he talked about how hot it was in Vietnam. But it is going to be hot this weekend. It will affect things. You know, it just makes it more miserable for the hunter. It doesn't really change things when you talk about dove hunting much. I mean, dove hunts in hot weather are normal. We have enjoyed the cooler weather this week. It's been a great start to the deer season for folks here in the Sumter area, Sumter Clarendon area. Cooler weather it always makes deer hunting more enjoyable, and I think it makes deer walk a little bit better when it's not so hot. They'll come out a little earlier in the evening. So cool weather does that. But dove hunting, you're used to 100-degree days and heat in a dove field. Birds fly with the sun full out, as hot as it can be, they'll still fly. And this weekend will be no different, so expect to see that. Just I will say that reports from Monday's opener have been somewhat disappointing for a lot of folks. Some folks have birds. You know, you always find the fields that have birds, they just have them. And then some fields just don't that used to. You know, we talked about that in our last show about how the population is actually down a little bit right now, which is just a little bump in the road. Don't see that as a permanent decline. Certainly that could be affecting what we're seeing in the fields this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks that had birds in the past haven't had them as much this year. It doesn't seem. I've heard of a lot of hunts that were a little slower or somewhat off. But it doesn't matter. Folks will still go out again this weekend. First Saturday hunt for the year for dove season. Our wildlife management areas will be open for dove hunting. If you're looking for those areas, go to on your phone. Look at your e-regulations. It lists your wildlife management areas and public dove fields there. Or you can go online to dnr.sc.gov and look for the regulations and the wildlife management area dove field list. Just make sure that you're going to the correct field and know what times and what days they're open. Sometimes they're different. But tonight, we're going to talk about waterfowl a little earlier in the year than normal. But the waterfowl draw system is now open. Folks can go in there, select dates if they want to, or just take a pass for the year and get your points in the waterfowl draw system for DNR. Very popular. Somewhere around 4 years it's taken to 5 years to get drawn. Now it's that popular, right up there with the alligator season. Had somebody ask me today about how long it's going to take me to get drawn for alligators. It's about 4 years now. Very popular draw as well, a drawing system. So we're going to talk about waterfowl season, and got Molly Neese coming here again. I want to welcome Molly in. Thanks for being a part of the show. As always, our waterfowl, state waterfowl project leader, Molly Neese. Molly, welcome to the show again.
Absolutely. Thank y'all for having me on again.
Mm-hmm.
Molly, you and I talked last week and decided we'd talk about it on the show today. We have the early teal season that's coming up September 20th. The Canada goose season's in full swing. Our early season started September 1st. I know a lot of people out there that enjoy that time of year. You and I talked about how easy it is sometimes to be successful to get on geese in the state. It's the only way we can control their population on these golf courses and other places where they just overrun the place. It's the one way we can control the population. So this early season's a great asset for us. Great tool, it's very popular. So glad we had that. But teal season, let's talk about that for a minute. Traditionally, in the last few, how long has it been, Molly? 20 years? We've had an early teal season?
About 20 years. About 20 years we've had an early teal season. So
And it's open for both blue and green wing, not one species, but all teal. The difference in the teal season has always been you have to wait until sunrise, not 30 minutes before. A lot of people argue about that and how they miss out on some good shooting, and they may, but the rules are you have to wait till sunrise to shoot so that you can properly identify what you're shooting at, because there is some data to show that there has been some juvenile wood duck shot mistakenly for teal because people just couldn't see enough. So again, teal season does start on September 20th, but there's a change this year. Molly, let's talk about the change.
Yep. So season on blue wing teal, early teal season here is a little bit shorter for us this year. We've had for about the past 20 years, it's been a 16-day season. So this year we're down to a 9-day season, and that is because blue wing teal breeding populations really took a decline last year. So we set these seasons based off of these breeding population numbers. We've got a range that breeding population can be in, and when it falls below a certain threshold, we reduce the number of days that we hunt. You know, you would think that reducing a bag limit kind of preserves or saves some birds for us, but it's really more so the effort that we put in and the number of days that we hunt that's more impactful toward our population than the number of birds that we harvest in a single day. So we're down to a 9-day teal season this year because last year our breeding population numbers were right at 4.5 million. So that puts us in our range for that 9-day season. And so hopefully we'll kind of help our populations a little bit that way, but still allow opportunity for our hunters in states to have these special early teal seasons. So those blue-winged teal are pretty unique because they come through a little bit earlier in large numbers. And so this early teal season kind of provides a lot of states opportunity to kind of take advantage and get some hunting opportunity with blue-winged teal that maybe they might not get so much during the regular season. So pretty good opportunity the Fish and Wildlife Service has for us.
All right, so I want to stop and make sure folks heard this right, because before everybody blames Molly Neese and the Department of Natural Resources for the shortened teal season, very important fact here, we do not get to set the dates. The U.S. government sets the dates. Fish and Wildlife Service sets the dates based on population numbers, which you heard her talk about. We could be more restrictive. We can't be less restrictive in states. Typically in South Carolina, our department has always leaned on the of doing as much as you can. We give you as many days as you can hunt and as many ducks as we can. So the drop to 9 days is not something that DNR did. Molly didn't do it. She didn't make the decision. I didn't make the decision. It is a decision that was handed to us by the Flyway Council. Isn't that right, Molly?
That's absolutely correct. So
I'm looking
taking
right
full
now,
advantage of those 9 days.
So we're going to take all 9 days. I'm looking right now. It looks like on DU's numbers, blue and teal went from 4.59 million to 4.432 million, and that's a 4% decline this year. Yep. And then green-winged teal took a 15% decline from 3 million to 2.5.
So that's right.
That's pretty drastic.
It is pretty drastic. You know, we get a pretty good number of green-winged teal here during the winter, so it'll be interesting to kind of see how our green-winged numbers play out. But it was pretty tough habitat conditions in our areas where our green wings like to nest. There was a lot of drought throughout Canada and portions where they had those really big wildfires too. And I think that really kind of did a number on our green wings for the year. But hopefully they'll rebound in spring and summer of 26, and we'll see those numbers kind of come back. They're a species that can kind of rebound kind of quickly for us. So hopefully we'll see those come back.
I know blue wings particularly can rebound because when you go to Prairie Canada and into the Dakotas where they nest, every ditch has blue-winged teal nested in it. They nest everywhere.
That's right.
Very prolific. So I'm looking long-term average, blue-winged teal are down 13%. And that's on the long-term average. Green-winged teal, however, are still up 16% on the long-term average. So I guess that's good news. We've seen some bumps, you know, over the time. So we've seen some bumps over the last years of numbers of birds have been up. So green-winged teal going down, you know, 15% is kind of alarming, but when you look at the long-term average, hey, we're still up. So
that's right. That's right. So another number on there that I saw that I liked, made me pretty happy, was to see Gadwall up. So Gadwall were up 6% from last year and 17% above their long-term average. So for our coastal hunters and some of our inland areas get good numbers of Gadwall. So it's good to see those numbers still performing well in relation to that long-term average. So hopefully that'll play out well for us this winter too.
Absolutely. I'm gonna mention another one that people love to hear about. Looks like the pintails up 13% from last year. And I know last year on our waterfowl areas on the coast, Molly, you reported a lot of pintails.
That's right. That's right. A lot
of
pintails.
So if we got even more this year, that would be really incredible this year to see what that looks like on the coast.
Absolutely. You know, I'm one of those hunters that's been holding on to my preference points for a while, so I'm going to study pretty good. And, I'm going to be thinking about my pintails when it comes to entering for the lottery hunts for waterfowl this year. So,
and American
three-bird
Widgeon.
Bag coming for pintails.
Absolutely. American Widgeon is up 9% this year and up 22%. Now, I love Widgeon. I love to hear them whistle. Beautiful birds, the old ball pate. Mm-hmm. And again, Santee Coastal Reserve, famous for having good Widgeon.
That's right. They had an excellent Widgeon year this past year. So it'll be, hopefully we can hope to see a lot of those this coming season too.
Now, did I catch you say something about pintails? I want to mention that. Did you say something about a three-bird limit?
That's right. So a change coming up for this coming, the regular duck season, as our pintail bag limit will go to three.
Hunters doing backflips on that one.
Absolutely. So I know Santee Coastal Reserve staff is really happy to see that coming. You know, we get a lot of hunters that come in after lottery hunts and they've got their pintail and they talk about pintails that they saw all morning. So we're looking forward to that, hoping the pintails show up for us in good numbers again this year. But I know a lot of hunters are going to be excited to see that. That three-bird bag for pintails is a pretty big deal. That's nationwide, a three-bird pintail bag. And so we'll also see that in 26, 27, too, with the breeding population numbers that came out this week. So
that's exciting
awesome. And new news. So.
All right, and for the discerning waterfowler out there, I want to make a note about one special species, the northern shoveler, the old spoonie. The spoonies are up again, 4%, folks. I know you're excited about that. If you're a discerning waterfowl hunter, you are waiting to see spoonies in your spread. And the spoonies, ladies and gentlemen, are up 4%. So more spoonies for this year.
The old tuxedo mallard
is coming back.
That's right. I have never seen a good retriever that complains about a good spoonie.
I'm happy to see
the spoonies up.
I've only had one dog spit out one duck, and it was a really ruddy duck. And I can understand why. This stiff tail got him right in the face, and he's spit it out. But as far as looking at divers for a moment, looks like redheads are up 17%, 25% on the long-term average. That's exciting. Canvasbacks are up 22% and 17% on the long-term average. That's incredible. Scalp, however, looks like we're still continuing to see declines in the bluebill going
correct.
Down 10%. So I don't see ringneck numbers. Have you heard anything about ringnecks?
I haven't heard much about ringnecks yet this year. They kind of breed up in the...
I just found it. Sorry. I apologize.
There we go.
I just
right,
found
what
you it. Ringnecks are up 9%. So for the ponds and around Lake Marion and Rimini and across South Carolina, they'll be very happy. 9% increase of ringnecks.
That is great news. Great news. So must have been good from the boreal this year. So they tend to kind of get up in a lot of regions we have trouble getting counts on. So it's good to see we got some information there and that those counts are up as well. So,
well, that's good. I mean, so it's interesting when you look at all these numbers and up and downs and just – you know, our main duck in South Carolina is wood ducks. Molly, what do we have on wood? What kind of information do we have right now on wood ducks in the state?
Yeah, so wood ducks are pretty difficult for us to survey because they're up under tree canopies and in areas that are difficult to count. But we do wood duck surveys kind of from Virginia north. They've got certain routes and set places where they go in and count wood ducks every year. Our wood duck numbers are maintaining steady. I know that we've had very good success banding wood ducks this year across the state. I think we're somewhere right around 600 or 700 wood ducks we banded this year. So pretty good numbers and looking good. I think everything is pretty consistent. So production numbers from what I've seen out of boxes is counts are looking good. And so I think we can count on our wood ducks to be pretty prolific for us again this year. So I enjoy my opening morning in the swamp with the wood ducks. So I know a lot of other people do too.
No doubt about it. Squealers are fun. And they're still at a 3-duck limit, correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
A lot of people question that a little bit, but they don't mind going out and shooting the 3. They question it, but they go out and shoot 3 anyway. But
that's right.
It is our main, one of our main ducks here in South Carolina and our homegrown duck. Speaking of ducks here in South Carolina, how about the model duck? Molly, what can you tell us right now with our model duck population?
Yep, it looks like from spent a night out banding with Santee Coast Reserve crew and the Bear Island crew. That's where we do the majority of our model duck banding. And, you know, it looks like our model ducks had a pretty good year. We got into, saw a lot of hens with broods. It looks like they probably had a late nest this year, a little later than what we typically see. We saw a lot more young broods than we typically see. But looks like we're going to have a good batch of model ducks again for this fall. Yeah, our hunters on the coast, it's kind of a prize bird, and they really, really like those critters. So hopefully we can get a few folks that get their first model duck down for the year. It's always fun to see. So,
no doubt. So outside of those, I know we have some small pockets, and we've mentioned this on the show, and I like to mention it, the different ducks we have. You know, we've got the black-bellied whistling ducks in the lower portion of the state. Is that correct? Jasper County?
Yep.
Around there, doing are they not doing a little bit of nesting here now?
They are. They are doing some nesting here. When we kind of got those birds. We've really been sighting every county of the state at this point. But majority places that you see them are going to be on our coastal counties. They do use wood duck boxes, but what we've learned from our research in the past 5 to 10 years is that usually about the time that our wood ducks have wrapped up nesting for the year is about the time you see your black bellies come in and start using those nest boxes. So not much of a competition issue going on for nest boxes with our wood ducks. And you'll really see those black bellies nest from now. I've seen little broods, little day or two old broods the week of Thanksgiving for black bellies. So they've got a pretty pretty long breeding season, but it's a little later in the year. But those birds are really doing well for us here in the state. Still at a one-bird bag on those. But they're pretty pretty interesting. And people call those squealers, too. You know them when you hear them. You can get into a flight path. They're a lot of fun to work and to hunt. So.
All right, so outside of the tree ducks, there's also the fulvous tree duck. Now, the fulvous tree duck is not one that nests here. Is that correct?
That's correct. At this point, we don't have any recorded nesting of fulvous in the state. It seems like every year I hear somebody report a fulvous or two during the season, but they're still pretty unusual, to see here.
Okay. And the tree ducks are generally, easy to identify by the long pink legs.
That's right.
At least on the black bellies, those long legs and a long neck. They have a long neck and long legs. But anyway,
that's right.
Phil,
that's right.
Don't make any comments.
No, sir.
No, none.
Not stepping into that.
No. And then our other interesting duck that we have, the merganser, the hooded merganser here in South Carolina, that we do have, you know, a naturally occurring breeding population. They also cross, they use wood duck boxes. What, is there any interesting facts on hooded mergansers we would want to talk about at all?
Well, you know, like I said, they will use their cavity nesters. They will use our wood duck boxes. So occasionally, you know, if you're checking your wood duck boxes and you come across an egg that's just a little bit smaller than your wood duck eggs, good chance that it's a merganser. So,
a little rounder, if I remember right. It's a little rounder, too.
That's right. A little smaller and a little rounder. But, you know, if you're looking for your prize hooded merganser this season, the bag limit on those is still one.
And it is, you know, outside of your limit of 6.
That is correct.
So. 1. So a little bonus bird for you.
There you go.
All right. So Molly, you and I talked about a lot of things prepping up for the show, just talking about what you would want to relay out there. Anything of interest? I will say this. I do want to hit it real quick because I think it's worth noting. There's been some recent studies on our model duck population that you were telling me about. It's very interesting, looking at crossbreeding or mixing with other gene pools. Tell me about that a little bit.
That's right. There's been a lot of interest related to captive reared mallards in South Carolina here in recent years. A lot of genetics work going on and some other different research studies. But one of the things that some folks have looked at in relation to captive reared mallards and genetics and model ducks in South Carolina, there was some concern as to these captive reared mallards were interbreeding with our model ducks and creating kind of a washdown gene pool of our model ducks here in the state. So there's been two research studies conducted on that in the last 6 or 7 years, and both of those studies have actually found that the duck that is most
Drum roll here. Mm. The duck here most likely to cause a problem. Here it is. Go ahead.
Black ducks.
That's right, folks. The American black duck, not the mallard. How about that one?
So we mentioned earlier, as you can imagine, you know, both of those species are very closely related, actually more closely related than a model duck is to a mallard. So both monomorphic species overall, you know, the same plumage characteristics, look very similar. So if you get a model duck hybrid in hand, it can be pretty difficult to differentiate what it might be. So I see a couple of model ducks come in on lottery hunts that are just a little bit bigger than what a standard model duck is. And so that may be some of our hybrid birds that are coming through. But as far as model duck populations go in South Carolina, you know, it's pretty good news that, you know, if we've got hybridization going on in our model duck, that it's occurring with black ducks and not with mallards. So pretty good there for our coastal birds.
Absolutely, and I thought it was interesting. You said that black ducks actually breed as far south as North Carolina, correct?
They do. They do. So, yep, you got breeding populations of black ducks in coastal Virginia and in the northern reaches of the coast of North Carolina. So, you know, it could be that some of those birds are kind of wintering down in South Carolina and maybe hanging on a little further into the spring, and that's where I kind of hypothesize our hybridization is coming from. So, pretty neat that black ducks are nesting that far south and doing really well in North Carolina.
That's very surprising. But before we finish the show tonight, Molly, again, thank you for joining in. I want to remind folks, if you're going to take part in any of our early waterfowl seasons, whether it be early teal or the Canada goose season, early goose season, make sure that you've got the proper license. You've got to have your state hunting license. You got to have your migratory bird permit, the HIP permit, and the migratory waterfowl permit, which is the old state duck stamp, and then your federal duck stamp as well. All of that can be purchased on your phone. All you got to do is go to our app on your phone. You can go to Go Outdoors SC is the app. You can go to the App Store and find it on the Apple or on your other device. I always forget Apple is not the only thing out there. Mm. So Apple or Android, go to Go Outdoors ST. You can purchase all of your licenses, your waterfowl permits are electronic. Your federal waterfowl permit is now electronic, and you don't have to ever have a signed stamp anymore. You just have to have that permit on your license on your phone. So those are things to remember. Remember, again, you got to have use non-toxic shot. You have to make sure that your gun is properly plugged. It cannot hold more than 3 shells. And again, if you're hunting teal in the morning, make sure that you do not begin shooting before official sunrise. Again, thanks for joining the show tonight, Molly. Thanks for those of you listening out there. I hope you have a safe weekend hunting a field in South Carolina.
Thank you, Major, and thank you, Molly. The new M&M guys here on Sports Talk SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources. If you had any questions about ducks, those questions have been answered. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.